Welcome to my Father's House podcast, episode 68, Jesus the Servant. Sarah Velasquez delivered this message in the Real Jesus of the Gospel series on March 31st, 2019.
Thought we'd start with a joke, you know. Why do they not let Jesus into a jewelry store? If you know it, Tanya, Angie, don't say anything. Because he breaks every chain. He's a chain breaker, right? Jesus cannot go into a jewelry store. Isn't that good? I mean, I laughed yesterday about that for a while. I thought that was really good. But really, the Lord gave me a different hook for this message today, and it's a little bit more serious. But I realized, you know, many of you know that I spent 7 years as a full-time missionary serving in Argentina. And there's, in 7 years, that's a lot of days, a lot of days of serving, a lot of experiences. And, maybe I haven't shared all or many of those, stories and experiences and things that happen on the streets of Buenos Aires or in our community living. Situation. And one story that came to me was that I don't think I've shared this before. Maybe some of you have heard it. I don't know. Pastor Harley hadn't heard it, about the night that I spent in the morgue. Has anyone heard this story? So yeah, I don't even know if my husband had heard this before, just the other day. He's shaking his head. He hadn't just before the other day when the Lord brought this to me. So I looked it up on the news online yesterday about what year was that. 2012, there was a terrible train accident in Buenos Aires. And I watched the clip of what happened yesterday. And as a commuter train from the outskirts of Buenos Aires every day comes into this large hub station called Once. I believe it was like the second and the third train car, it derailed. There was a malfunction and it ran into itself. And 50 people were killed and like 700 people were injured. And there were just bodies, like people on top of each other. It was mayhem in the streets of Buenos Aires. It was chaotic. And the city of Buenos Aires recognizes YWAM as a entity, as a non-for-profit that will give service. So somebody in the ranks of the city called the leaders from YWAM and asked for a team of people to come and serve and help. And so we were sent to the morgue. And I gotta just get chills because it was quite the experience. So people were in shock that were in the train. They were injured and people were just like wandering away because they were trying to, you know, the rescue workers were trying to pull the people out of the cars and several people were missing in action and their families and their loved ones were going to all the hospitals to try to find them because they were like, either they were killed and not identified yet or they were just kind of in a state of shock and just lost, like wandering around that scene. And so families would go to all the hospitals, and then if they weren't finding their loved one, they went to the morgue. And there they were, it's terrible, but this is very, you know, morbid, but what they had to do, they were having family members identify pictures if this was their family member. And so a team of us they set up a really nice, like receiving a whole room. It was a bit larger than a room. And the city, we really commended the city for how they responded because they, you know, in the light of such a tragedy, they responded very well. They handled it well and as much as you could. And so there was this whole big, large room with like different waiting areas. And then there were the offices, like three different offices where people were, the official town, city officials were showing, you know, the pictures. So families were waiting in these long lines to go into the office. And you'd start to hear like groans and crying and screaming once they recognized that it was their family member. And so we were, they had food and they had coffee stations, and we were in charge of just like containing the people and just keeping the place clean and serving people. And I mean, some people were like passing out, and it was hot. It was February. It was in the summertime. We got there at like 11 p.m. at night and were there until like 4 a.m. But it was a hot, balmy night. And so we were the presence of God in that place. And we didn't do outright, you know, direct ministering to people in the way of, you know, speaking out prayers over people, or, you know, like evangelizing, telling people directly about Jesus. It was more in that moment, just containing people and, you know, serving the place. Like I remember, refilling the coffee and things like that. And as the night went on, I remember sitting with different women and just holding them as they cried. And it was very intense. It was very, but at the same time, in some way, it was very, I don't know if beautiful is the right word, but I felt very privileged to be there in that place, if that makes sense at all. Because it was like I was allowed in on somebody's most vulnerable moment, and I was asked to represent Jesus in that place. Whether the city officials, you know, recognize that it was Jesus, but they know that YWAM is a spiritual, you know, a religious is how it's categorized, but spiritual entity, organization. And so we were representing Jesus' love and his peace and his light in that place, even without speaking words necessarily over people. And we came back to our home, our base, at, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning, and, you know, maybe would have gone to bed, but we were just so like, okay, let's process. Like we were just talking. It just, we sat up for another 2 hours and just kind of spilled out what we had just experienced, because it was so profound. And, you know, thinking about service is not glamorous. Service is not glorious. It's not, woo, I get to do this sometimes, depending. There's many different ways that we can serve. But I think that was a moment of, you know, this, and maybe that's what I was feeling, this privilege of like, I get to represent Jesus. I get to represent his love and his light right now. I mean, this certainly isn't an ideal situation. This is not, I mean, it was a tragedy. It was terrible. But Jesus, the servant, was present through us. And it was, in that sense, it was very beautiful. And so, yeah, Jesus is the greatest model that we have of a servant. His life, we can learn so much about the heart of the Father, the heart of service, the heart of serving, looking, you know, dying to oneself and looking out for the needs of another. John Hagee said, "The measure of a man's greatness is not the number of servants he has, but the number of people he serves." And I heard this quote too: "There is no exercise better for the heart than reaching down and lifting people up." It's an exercise for our heart. And we're exercising and manifesting the heart of Jesus when we do that, when we rid ourselves of whatever is of ourselves and bend down to lift somebody else up. Because we've all been there too. And we've all been in situations where people have served us. The heart of God, Jesus himself, has served us, right? So let's pray before we jump into this first scripture here. Thank you, Lord God. You are so good. You are our servant. And we just ask that your heart for us today would come through your word. Father, take my words and minister to each heart from the power of your Holy Spirit what each of us need to learn and grow. We want to truly be your disciples, truly be your followers, and that means learning your heart of the servant and putting that to practice in our lives. Bring us revelation today. You take care of any distractions, Father, and that we can focus and receive 100% what you have for us today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Mark 10, 35 to 45. And this scripture, this passage really fits very well with John Hagee's quote about the measure of a man's greatness isn't the number of servants he has, but how many he's serving. Because Jesus is teaching us, or teaching his disciples, and teaching us, we are his disciples, this revolutionary concept. So we're in Mark 10, starting in verse 35, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That is really a loaded passage. Wow. It says that Jesus came to serve. He came as a king. He was a king of the Jews. What king do you know that came not to be served and be fanned by his servants and fed grapes and all the greatest delicacies, but that came to serve? What king do you know that gave everything, that humbled himself to being persecuted, spit on, torn apart, literally beaten, to serve his people? That's the king we serve. That's our King Jesus. A servant is a person who performs duties for others, a devoted and helpful follower or supporter. I think Jesus qualifies as a devoted and helpful, much more than helpful. That seems like such a gross understatement when we're talking about Jesus, right? Helpful follower or supporter. He is our biggest fan. And this verse says, this passage says, he gave his life as a ransom for us. He gave us everything. Yes. Jesus served us ultimately by dying on the cross for us. If that wasn't the most incredible act of service, I don't know what is. And Jesus continues to serve us every day, right? Do you have moments like in this last week of life that you can think of how Jesus served you? You know, and when I was thinking about the other, when I was thinking about Jesus, the servant, and then the other topics, the other characteristics that we've brought out in this series about the real Jesus, I'm thinking about, you know, Jesus, the healer, Jesus, the merciful, Jesus, the teacher. He's serving us in all of those different roles, right? He serves us when he teaches us, when his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, comes alive to us, and his word just jumps off the page to us. That is him serving us by teaching, by using his word to teach us. When we are pressing in, standing on God's word for healing, like I'm doing, and receiving that. And like, I love what Enoch shared about, you know, when you don't see, you don't have the breakthrough, you don't have the goosebumps and the rolling around on the floor, that's when we need to just stand on the word and stand on the promise, right? And fight with that, because that's the weapon he's given us, right? And that is, where was I? I got off track. He's serving us by that. He's serving us because his word still works. He never takes his word away. The goosebumps might come and go. It's not about goosebumps. It's not about a feeling. But his word will always be there, and his spirit will always live inside of us. So he serves us in that way. And he serves us by giving us that authority, or that wisdom to realize that we have the authority to receive that healing, and that healing is manifested to us, right? And Jesus, the merciful, when he shows mercy to us, he's serving us and setting us free, right? It's awesome. Awesome, awesome. So it is, this what he's telling his disciples in Mark 10 here, it is a revolutionary idea. Like Jesus is saying, not so with you. It's not going to be this way with you. Like what society taught then was the same thing that society teaches now. That how are you supposed to, how do you become someone? You know, by climbing up the corporate ladder and stepping on all of those that are under you to get there, lying, cheating, stealing, you know, or being the greatest, being the most popular, being the most beautiful, being the most whatever, the one with the most power and fame and money. That's what society teaches, how you get to be somebody, right? Of value, of position. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. No, not you, not my followers. You're going to follow in my example. You need to serve. You need to die to yourself. You need to take off the old man, take off the selfish nature, and serve others and look out for the needs of others. And he used the example, you know, in verse 42 there, he was talking about the Romans, right? And they were certainly, what's the authoritative kind of a rule and reign over the people, just kind of, this is, you know, used violence, used aggression to achieve their means and keep their, make sure that nobody had doubts about who was in charge, right? they lorded it over them. They exercised their authority in an aggressive way. But like we're talking about, Jesus teaches a different way, that whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. That is a change of mindset for us. And that's why we need to be renewed. Our mind needs to be renewed, that if I want to be first, I must be a slave. I must be a slave to another. And Jesus led by this example. That the last verse in that passage that we read says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for many. Jesus didn't have to clean up my junk. He didn't have to take all my sin, all my sickness, illness, past, present, future. He didn't have to carry it, but he said, I'll take care of that. Isn't that incredible when you think about that? It didn't, my junk, my sin, my illness, it didn't correspond to him, but he said, I'll take it. And that right there, that is the heart of Jesus the servant, that he says, I'll take it. He took it on the cross 2,000 years ago, and he continues each day to show us that heart of a servant. Like, I'll walk with you, I'll serve you, I'll reach down and lift you up when you're feeling low. When I was serving in Argentina, one of the positions I had was part of the evangelism street outreach ministry. And we went out on the streets. We felt like God was asking us, and then we did this several times, to do kind of a prophetic act. And we took trash bags and we just went around the streets of Buenos Aires, which is a bit dirtier than like Fort Wayne. And we picked up trash. And we were praying while we were doing it, and it was really prophetic for the city of saying, like, Jesus the servant is here, and he serves you. He serves us. And I remember some people stopping us and saying, what are you doing? And we had an opportunity to tell them and tell them why. And for a couple people, we had some short conversations about Jesus and things like that, because people were just like scratching their heads like, that's not your junk. And I'm like, exactly. It wasn't my junk that Jesus took on the cross. It wasn't mine, but it wasn't Jesus's, is what I meant to say. It wasn't Jesus's. It didn't correspond to him. It wasn't his mess. He was free of sin. Free of sin. He was holy, totally pure. So he didn't have to do that, but he did. And so we were, as Jesus' representatives, we felt that he was asking us to show that humility and show that obedience and say, hey, this is what Jesus did for us. Because we've received this, we're doing this for you, like you collectively as a, at the city. And I think that's really powerful when we can do that. Service is an attitude of the heart. It's not just the act of doing something, but it's an attitude in your heart that then you will begin to see a need, and you just do it. You don't wait. You just jump in and see how you can serve. And there's so many ways that we can serve, serve people and serve the Lord as well. So there are two particular characteristics that I think are very, significant when we talk about Jesus the servant, and we see these characteristics in Jesus our servant. Let me fix this, because this is... Am I still on? Okay, I am. All right, praise God. All right, so the first characteristic is humility. And Paul writes about how we should strive for this humility, because Jesus exemplified humility. And, the dictionary definition of humility is a modest view of one's own importance. So Philippians 2, we're going to go there. Philippians 2, 3 through 11 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. I feel like these first couple verses of this passage are the biblical definition here of humility. It just describes it really well. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. Excuse me.
by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we can see here, it's talking about humility. You know, take off yourself and consider. He didn't consider himself. He came as, he was the Lord, right? He was Christ Jesus, but he didn't personify that equality with God. He made himself just like us in our humanness. He made himself nothing, and took on the nature of a servant. He didn't take advantage, in other words, of his godly position to lord it over, like the Romans were doing in that time, to lord it over, exercise authority that was, you know, off balance. Just the opposite. And in his death, he showed us the greatest act of humility. I think another time that Jesus exemplified humility was when he was being accused in front of Pilate, right? Matthew 27, verse starting in 12, it says, "But when the leading priests and the elders made their accusations against him, Jesus remained silent." Ooh, how many of us, when people are making accusations against us, we don't say anything. Help me, Jesus. Help me learn that. That's humility. Humility doesn't have to defend itself. It doesn't have to give arguments, because he knew who he was. And he didn't need to defend that to anyone, to Pilate or anyone, the crowd there. "Don't you hear all these charges they are bringing against you?" Pilate demanded. Verse 13. "But Jesus made no response to any of the charges, much to the governor's surprise." Wow. He didn't make any response. He stood and took it. And that is, to me, that is screams humility. Okay, the second characteristic of Jesus the servant is obedience. And also we can see this in, through all of Jesus' life. He didn't do anything until the Father told him, and that was obedience, right? But in this same passage here that we're looking at in Philippians 2, is that what we're in? Yeah. Philippians 2, verse 8, it talks about specifically the obedience. "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Jesus obeyed the Father above all else, and truly that made him a servant. And also another instance that I think of is in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's dealing with this, right? Right before he's about to be seized and crucified, Matthew 26, he says, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." That is obedience. Okay, so if there's a way, he was being very vulnerable. He was, you know, crying blood. He was being transparent with his disciples who were with him there. And he's praying this profound, deep prayer from his heart to the Father, "If it could be taken from me, but..." The "but" is so key here. "But not as I will ultimately." Like, I'm going to surrender to you. I will be obedient to what you have. And then in verse 42, "My Father," it's similar. He says, "If it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, then may your will be done." He's surrendering. He's saying, "I will be obedient to death on the cross, because he understood that that was his purpose, and that the will of that he would carry out the will of the Father, complete and total obedience. And that goes together with the humility. Obedience is beyond our fears. It's about surrendering and being loyal in everything. Just want to point out one other verse here before we go to our focus groups. In Hebrews 5, 7 through 10, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Do you hear that? He learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Awesome. I thought that just summed up what we're talking about, the humility and the obedience together. Because of that reverent submission that Jesus exemplified. Humility and the obedience, those are two just significant characteristics of Jesus the servant. They allowed Jesus to gracefully accept his the Father's plan and the Father's purpose for him, and then follow through with that. And he was in turn then lifted up by the Father. Jesus was glorified, and he is our ultimate servant. Okay, so we're going to break into our focus groups for some time here, some minutes. And you have Mark 10 scripture that's there, I believe, from the end of that passage to discuss. And then we'll come back. In that same enthusiasm and power and presence of the Lord, if we continue to worship, we're just going to listen to just a final scripture here. Another example, a prime example of Jesus showing him, revealing himself as his disciples, and that includes us, as the disciples' servant. And that's when he washed their feet. You know this story, right? In John 13, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord, your teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." You will be blessed if you do them. Washing of the feet represents humility, right? It represents an act of service. Have you ever had your feet washed? It brings the presence of God, like, really powerful, humbling experience to have your feet washed, because, I don't know, our feet usually aren't maybe all that clean or smelling nice all the time, right? You can imagine the disciples walking around in sandals on dusty roads, that their feet, and maybe that's, you know, Peter especially knew that his feet didn't have a nice fragrance or something, and, you know, but Jesus says, no, I have to do this. This is the example I'm setting for you. I'm serving. And he gives us that example and asks us, not asks us, charges us, commissions us to do the same. And he says that you'll be blessed. Because I don't know about you, but the times that I've served in, like, that situation in the morgue, I was so much more blessed. You receive so much more back from the, not even the act of service, it's the heart, because Jesus manifests himself when we submit ourselves and we obey and we take off we die to ourselves, like the, read that little article on the side of the bulletin because it's really good. We die to ourselves. We take off of ourselves or attitudes that say, well, I'm too good for this. I can't do that. I can't scrub a toilet, you know, because we have these attitudes. And Jesus goes, yeah, no, not you, my servants. You will do differently. You will serve each other and you will be blessed from it. You receive so much more. Because it could be also, think about this, it could be our act of service, our obedience to the Lord, that sets somebody else free. By us submitting to the voice of God, and he says, go serve, go meet that need, and showing, manifesting the love of Jesus, it could be that very act, whether it's words or no words, that sets somebody free and shows them the heart of the Father, or brings them to the Lord for the first time, maybe. So our job is just to be humble servants, to obey his voice, and to look for ways. We can ask the Lord this week to show us, to give us that revelation of his heart for service, and that he would give us opportunities to serve others, to manifest his servant heart in our day. And I guarantee if you ask, he'll give. I'm sure he loves those kind of prayers, right? Because it's like, all right, okay. So praise the Lord. God is so good. He's so good. You know, I was thinking about that when we're singing, I want to see your kingdom come. It's easy to sing that on Sunday. Tomorrow, when you hear the voice of the Lord saying, go do X, Y, Z for this person, that's where the rubber hits the road, friends, right? I know, because I've been there. Or you do it, but your motive's not quite right. And so let's let Jesus purify our hearts of service, that when we're serving, we're being obedient, and we're doing it with a right heart. And that will move mountains. That will set people free. And that will bring people to his feet. And that's when we can see his kingdom come, when we're walking and following in his steps. So praise the Lord. Jesus the servant is here today, and he wants to meet your needs. So if anyone came for prayer today, I invite you up. We're going to pray for those needs, because not only the spirit of Jesus the servant is here, but we, his servants, his disciples. You just heard the charge. Nobody can say, no, but that doesn't include me. We are also here to manifest that servant heart and to walk alongside each other when we have needs and we have prayer petitions and we have things that we're standing for and believing for. So I invite you to come up and receive. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.